Gold One knows that your skin changes all the time. Like waking feeling hydrated, only to have dry skin after a walk on a cold day. Or having dull skin at work, to glowing skin for date night. People don't have one skin, they have skins. And Gold Bond Lotion's clinically proven formulas contain 7 nourishing moisturizers, plus 3 vitamins to help you take care of all of them. For all your skins, Gold Bond. Visit goldbond.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the 16th ever episode of the Iced Coffee Hour. Thank you for tuning in. Today we have a wonderful guest, Cassie de Pecol. Correct?
Pecol.
Why don't you say your last name? How about you do that? Way to go.
That was really good though. Like you just spaced it out a little too much, but otherwise I was
okay.
Yeah,
how would you do
it's
it?
It's de Pecol.
De Pecol.
Yeah.
Wait, what to embarrass us in front of our guest Jay.
All the hours of research that I do to prepare an outline. Jeez. That's what I come up with. Okay. Anyways,
yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
So really exciting guest. Look at this. You brought books for us.
I did.
So your thing, you have been to every single country in the world. Every single one of them.
A lot of countries.
And even, I would say this is what shocked me. Not that was it. Naked and Afraid.
I forgot you would bring that up.
Yeah.
Naked and Afraid.
Yeah, I used to love that show. Man. And you were in one of the episodes.
Yeah.
I don't know if we could put a clip up here for copyright reasons, so we could just leave this to be searched. But, yeah. But anyway, but you traveled the world just all on your own.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. So where do we even I don't even know where to begin. I have a feeling that's probably the most interesting. Let's talk about that. And then we'll talk about Naked and Afraid.
Yeah. I'm definitely willing to dive deep into either or both at the same time.
Let's do both. We'll start with traveling the world.
Okay.
Why for how feasible is that? Cuz you do that for free, right?
Or
how much did it cost you? Let's talk about cost first.
Oh gosh. Right in deep with the money aspect. So essentially, before this whole thing, long story short, I was like a babysitter, not even nanny, babysitting. So making, I don't know, like around like 40, 35, somewhere around there. So I started this business. It was actually, the idea stemmed from sitting in the dirt in a fetal position, during Naked and Afraid in the jungle. But it started from like a really weird space. But I created the whole idea, and I thought, all right, it's going to be around, created the budget. Sorry, I'm kind of jumping around.
How do you create a budget?
Hold on, so you did
Naked and Afraid first.
That's where the idea came from.
But getting on Naked and Afraid to begin with, how do you qualify for that? What are the qualifications for getting on the show to begin with? Because you have to have a back. They're not going to let me go on Naked and Afraid.
Why would you say that?
Because I wouldn't last one night.
I mean, okay.
There's no air conditioning out there. There's no heater out there.
No, nothing. None of
there's
that.
No Tempur-Pedic mattress. I can't. None how am that. I supposed to?
So they have to make
coffee.
Sure you're hardcore.
So like, they do. And like, essentially, when I was growing up, I was homeschooled a lot growing up, on and off. So we had a guy come to the house and do like survival stuff. And then I went to Green Mountain College in Vermont. And I also did survival stuff there. So I'm like, I think I can survive. You know, so I'm going to go ahead and I was working a pyramid scheme door to door. Business to business sales job for like Verizon pyramid scheme, like total.
How was Verizon a pyramid?
It was terrible. It was like someone who's like, it was like this company. They say they're their own company, but they're actually not. Like they have no affiliation with Verizon, and they're trying to sell all their like phones and Wi-Fi or whatever.
What was it called?
Two businesses.
Are you allowed to say?
I don't know. Like
they're gonna come get
should
you.
Should I?
If you
I don't
say
know.
Say
it. It matters. Say it was called Potomac Advisory Group. It was in Alexandria, Virginia.
All
right. And I think they're closed now. And like they just fired me and like they didn't give me unemployment and like whatever. Mm. And like it was for no reason. Whatever. Anyways.
Okay.
And so I was just sitting on my couch one day. I was like, I hate my life. And then I just saw these like naked people running across the TV screen. I was like, what are they doing? And they were like in the jungle. I thought, you know what? I think it's time. Like my life is kind of bad. I feel like I'm at my rock bottom at the moment, so I'm going to go ahead and just do it.
So you wanted to run naked across the TV screen.
And I was like, you know what? Maybe that might be my thing, you know? So I just like filled in an application. I didn't know what it was for, you know, until I was filling it out. And they're like, yeah, you have to survive like naked in the jungle. It's like 21 days. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm still going to do it. Because I do have some survival skills, you know, from homeschooling and college. And sure enough.
Surviving homeschool.
Yeah, surviving college.
So, okay, so you submit the application. How much longer until they get back to you?
It was a couple weeks or so. And then, like, they had the preliminary, like, we're interested. And then it was, like, it was a matter of, like, I want to say 2 months. Mm-hmm. And then they flew me out to L.A. I was still in D.C. at the time. And, yeah, and they kind of had me, like, go through the process here. And I was pretty much in. Pretty
What's
quickly.
The process? What do they ask you to get naked?
No. Like... It was like they had you do like a psychology, like psych Makes test, sense. Make sure you're like mentally sane, and just like ask that you had to like do some tests with like a survivalist to make sure you knew what you were talking about. It was pretty easy, but it was honestly they were looking for the villain. I think of that that season. That
like, were we, you the we villain? Were on a
spe- yeah, I was.
How are you the villain?
So it's like they have, I feel like even with reality TV, they have the characters I've learned over the years. And I was on a special with like 4 people instead of 2. So I was that young blonde ditz B word of a contestant.
Okay.
And who didn't know what she was doing. So I'm an introvert and I love working alone, like not with a team. You know, I'm like, I'm a hard worker, but like alone. And it's the same thing that with, you know, with Naked and Afraid, I was just doing a lot of work, but I was doing it alone. And the team didn't like that because they wanted me to work with them.
Did you make it all the way to the end?
I did.
What do you win?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
You would think
there's
be
a cash prize. There's a little tiny cash prize.
So you
but I still
a
can't
bit of cash.
Say to this day.
Oh, you can't.
Yeah,
okay.
Tiny little touch.
Wow. But you would think that would require people to take 30 days? How many days is that?
21.
21 days.
And they wanted me to go back for the 42 day, like double the time.
Wow.
Then you didn't go back.
I was like,
well, I guess
one
you get
mil?
Publicity,
I
right?
I mean, that's like a mil.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not even like, because like the people who watch that kind of show, it's like, they're kind of like, well, I mean, in general, generally speaking, like
Graham watches
redneck.
I saw it.
I did too, obviously. Like I found out about it from watching it. Yeah. But like generally speaking, it's like people who, like redneck America, I feel like.
Okay.
I mean, not to be judgmental.
Our
but
apologies.
I watch it too.
To anyone who watches
sorry.
The show, this is not
directed
towards you.
And I have friends who watch it too. But, you know, generally speaking, I feel like I don't know if the audience would really help. Honestly, it hasn't really helped me because they've all been like, you suck, you're this, you're that. It's like all negative. And I'm like, I'm sure. Okay. But
so you were on the show and that gave you the inspiration to travel every country?
Yeah.
Well,
let's
talk logistics of the show for a second. How do you use the restroom? Do you just, or how do you like, do you eat?
Oh, good question.
Do you have to hunt? Question. Do you have to hunt for your food?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thankfully my partner was good at that. I got the snails in the river, but with the bathroom, the ocean. So like one big misconception was like they would see us like laying on rocks, specifically just me, like laying like as if I was tanning, like using this time to tan my body, like trying to survive on a rock. But it's like you go in the ocean, you take a, you know, you piss. I don't know if you want me to swear on this or no.
No swearing.
No swearing.
Or if you do,
well,
Jack
just
will bleep it out.
Yeah. Okay.
He'll bleep
it
out. Yeah.
So you go 1 and 2 in the ocean, and then you just like got to lay off to dry because then you have to go back to work in the jungle again. We were on a beach ocean thing, so that's when we would most do it is in the ocean. Like to answer,
what about brushing teeth?
No, like sometimes we'd take some like leaves, like coconut leaves or whatever. But no, but we
weren't
really eating either.
So it was actually Naked and Afraid is actually
legit. It's like legit. Yeah, it's totally legit.
Okay. Because I always was under the impression that those shows they'd provide you with toilet paper. Toothbrushes, deodorant, even like
tampons.
They didn't.
They do.
Oh,
no, so that, like they. I feel like they have didn't. To. Otherwise, like, what are you going to do? Sit in your tent and like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, right.
But yeah, nothing else. Though that's like the extent of it.
Okay.
Wow. I mean, so I even like contacts, and I had like solution, but I had to like wash it with my dirty hands.
Really?
You know? Oh yeah, like not even like.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what if you were going to eat a snail that was like poisonous or something? Like, what
they'd
if you
let
were?
You eat it.
No, they
do.
Yeah.
So if they see something like
whatever.
They're crawling in poison ivy, they're just
So
if a bear comes up to you and is going to maul you, then
they'll probably try and break that apart. If that were the case, but like one of the producers, like on my special, it was the season 1 Double Jeopardy special, and the producer on that show, like when they were preparing for this episode, they were scoping out areas or whatever, and he got bit by what kind of snake? A coral snake, I think it was. And he had to go to the hospital. I mean, his whole leg. I mean, he ended up okay, but it was like super intense, you know.
Wow.
And those were the jungles that we were like dealing with, you know.
Huh.
So you literally just survived in the wild as if it was like 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Probably.
What do you do for drinking water?
Thankfully, to one of my teammates, they found like a little sip thing, like a sieve, like coming from a rock. And so we'd filled that with we found coconut, filled the coconut bowl with that water.
Mm. How do you eat enough?
We're lucky.
Did you lose a ton of weight or something during that?
Yeah, because I mean, I lost 14 pounds. My partner lost like 28 pounds. I mean,
so you could only do that for about 3 weeks before your body, I would imagine, starts to shut down.
But they have the 42-day one.
Yeah.
I just
that's what I'm like, I don't know how to do that. How
the
they do
teeth
that.
Is just what keeps throwing off. It's like
you would do it if you could brush your teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, do you go to the dentist? Like,
I didn't go to the dentist. Like, I would right after get a teeth cleaning.
I did make like clothing out of like coconut husk. Like, I made a bra and like, you know, like a little skirt thing. Mm-hmm. And my teammates were like, we need that to make a fire tonight. I was like, ooh, but can you find something else and I'll help you, because I don't want to give up my
classic.
And then in front of the, you know, film people and everything, I just had to like take that bra off.
What was that like getting, because I know the beginning of the show, it's like you just straight up see the other person, you're both naked. Was there any embarrassment with that?
Listen, like, my situation, like everyone's situation is different, but mine, his name was Forrest and he's actually from Santa Barbara.
Okay.
He's from, I think it was like Zimbabwe originally, but like he lives in Santa Barbara, and he just like, you know, we got off this boat, walked towards each other, he put his hands in the air and just started shaking his thing.
Is that, no, when you met, was that actually the first time you met?
That was the very first time we met. Yeah. And I was just like looking at him like coming at me like dancing and shaking his thing, and I was just like,
better that than
really
like
really embarrassing. Yeah. No, I think it. I think that'd be better.
Yeah,
than the shake,
because okay,
like
maybe.
You're supposed
you don't
to laugh,
know it could go
like,
either. It could go either way.
Like
you
it's
could,
not
yeah.
funny. Like it's not funny. But I have to laugh because, and I'm on TV, so like,
yeah, it's a little weird. I mean, if that was like out in public,
exactly what I said,
in
right?
the open in public, that would be that would
because you don't know what type of person you're getting when they do that. Yeah. It could either be trying to ease the tension,
or
they're a little
to,
like that's
know,
like
exactly,
action
exactly.
person,
exactly.
Like,
yeah,
crazy person,
like assert dominance.
Exactly, exactly, exactly.
Okay,
and yeah. So I'm not going to speak further on that one.
Wow,
the answer to it, but yeah. That was we didn't get along. Yeah.
Okay.
You and Forrest?
Yeah, we didn't.
Okay.
But you know, it is what it is, and at the end of the day we still kind of talk, like Manu and I, one of my partners. We all still talk now. We're just kind of like life in our way, but we were totally fine and happy at the end, like all of us, friends and stuff. But during it you would never think that.
Hmm. So was one of the first things that you did was just find clothes, I would assume?
First thing was the shelter. So
yeah. Okay. Like, that makes sense.
And then I was like, all right, I'm going to make some, like pull a leaf over myself. Just like tie a leaf with some, there's so much, we were in a really good spot. Like if you were in the middle of like the African, like sub-Saharan desert or whatever, there would be like nothing, you know, to like make anything out of, but we were in kind of the jungle beach. So there were some coconut trees, coconut husks to make stuff out of. But yeah, the shelter was really important and we didn't agree on that, on how to do it. But
what was the first thing you did after the show? Like, what was the first thing you ate? Or you put clothes on. What was
teeth.
That like?
Yes, brush the teeth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Made a video, first of all, like looking disgusting. No teeth brushed for my Instagram.
Oh, wow.
And then they had like a huge smorgasbord of like pork rinds and like all this, like everything you could ask for essentially, and beer. So I think the first sip I had was like of a beer.
Really, you wouldn't want just like water?
Yeah, I would. That? Like, Arrowhead.
Well, okay, so in
Dasani?
The helicopter, that's a good point. In the helicopter, when they rescued, like when we got to the helicopter, they gave us like those granola like Nutri bars that like fall apart or whatever, and water. So that was the first thing, and then we had the whole, you know, smorgasbord. But yeah,
right. And then what about when you got home? What was the first, like, would you want a McDonald's? I'd get a Big Mac.
Oh yeah,
yeah. I got to give you a Big Mac.
This is really bringing me back.
Yeah.
Or sushi.
Man.
Oh my gosh.
I think it was probably like sushi or something.
Okay.
Like, something with my family. I don't remember. Something like, I don't, yeah. I just stuffed myself. I gained it all back in like a week.
And how about sleeping? Could you sleep well there?
No, not at all.
So you were basically always tired.
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Always, always.
And what were
we
your
took
most
turns? Like, oh, wow. The fire going. So
how do you wake up? I guess you would wake up. How do you know what time it is?
I don't know. They just like, you know, you just kind of like, all right, like I'm about to fall asleep. So can you please just take over? And then we'd like take turns watching the fire.
That's miserable.
Yeah, it was totally, and it was pouring rain.
Yeah.
55 degrees, you know, like freezing, you know. Rain falling on you. There were little hermit crabs crawling all over us.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, yeah. No, we're like, uh-oh, don't move. There's something. And I was like, oh, God.
There's something.
And I was the one who...
Wow.
Of course. Yeah, there was something. There were little ants. There was, you know, snakes.
So what does that make you feel now when you go home and, like, you're in a house
no,
and you're
I'm
in a
so
bed?
No, I'm so grateful.
Still, has this had an impact even to this day? It's like just to have a kitchen?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I live in a very tiny home. Yeah. Like, it's like 480 square feet. And it's into a paint, like, really, really small. And I'm just like, you know what? I'm so grateful for this right now. Like, this is all I could ask for. I don't want to, you know, you never know what.
Makes sense. You have. Yeah.
There's one more thing I'm just wildly curious about. Mm-hmm. What would you eat? Like, what was, I'm sure that there were common things that you just continued to eat because it was readily available.
I'm glad you asked that because I was going to say something and then I was like.
Yeah, yeah. What was it?
Yeah. So there were these monkeys that would like kind of open up these berries, like chew the stuff outside the berries and like throw them on the ground or throw the bad ones on the ground. Mm-hmm. And so Manu and I would actually go out and collect these berries that these monkeys just kind of like worked and like opened and like threw on the ground, and we would eat those. So like a lot of those berries from the monkeys, and
I
a
thought,
lot of snails from the river.
Like, I thought you were about to say the monkey. Snails. Like, you know, they had these monkeys and
well,
they tasted good.
My partner
good.
Killed an armadillo. Like the very first week that we, the very first week we were there, it was just him and I, and he's like, "All right, Cassie, make the fire." I'm like, "All right, here's my time to shine."
Yeah. How did he do it?
What?
How did he do it?
He just like he saw it. He put his hand over the neck and just he had a little spear. Then he
I'd have too hard of a time doing that though. I mean, I guess if you're really hungry,
plus armadillo is like,
was it good?
The disease you can like catch from that. I forget what it's called. Like, what is it called?
Even if it's
salmonella.
No,
no, it's something. It's like a disease that lasts with you for a long time.
Oh God!
But yeah, I couldn't make the fire, so
it was. Yeah, did it taste good?
That one.
You didn't eat it.
I didn't make the fire, and so he was very angry, and so and
oh,
I was too.
Wait, you didn't let you eat it?
No, because we had to cook it. We had
to
cook that.
Yeah.
So what did you just
not like fish?
You just let it sit there?
Yeah.
We let it sit there. I know. Well, neither one of us could make the fire. Like, we couldn't, because it was so damp over there, like, so wet and everything with it. But I will say, though, the last nights, we had to trek, like, 4 days through the jungle, across the ocean, and our
right,
own
to the
homemade
extraction point, they call it, right? I remember that.
It was across the ocean, filled with sharks.
Yeah.
And and he caught us all, like, lobster. He went gung-ho. He caught us lobster.
Wait, was this Forrest?
Fish. This is Forrest. Wow. He went, like, that was when it all came to fruition for him. Like, his whole, you know, what he'd been working for, it actually just, he just caught it all. And he worked really hard to catch that stuff. And I'm like, oh, I feel bad. But he shared it equally, whatever.
Wow.
And we did eat the hermit crabs. Put those over the fire and just.
How do you eat a hermit crab? Is it just the belly that goes in the thing?
It's like the whole crab. And then
you just eat the whole, just chomp on it. Shell
all.
And everything.
I don't think that's how you eat it in the modern world, but that's
right.
How you eat it.
I guess you would have to eat that, but you just chew it.
Wow. What was the weirdest thing you ate?
In general, in the show, and then in general.
I'd be curious. Some funky stuff.
Wow. I don't know. I mean, I would say probably those monkey droppings, because we're not for sure where those came from, you know, like with the snails from that little river, like that those are snails coming from the river. We ate oysters off the rock. We like chucked them off the rock with a sword or machete. But I would just say the monkey dropping. It's not really that like intense.
Mm-hmm.
And then in general, chicha in the Amazon.
I don't know what that is.
Early travels. Okay.
What is that?
All right. So in the deep within the Amazon, which you guys got to go. Get the chance. It's
the Amazon?
Yes.
Yeah.
deep within. So like these ladies in the little communities, like the community that I went to, she would like chew on this like root and it would create chicha. I forget the name of the root. Don't ask. I'm like, okay. My memory is terrible, but I remember they would like chew on this root. They would spit it into this like wooden bowl and then they'd mix it with the water from the river. And then they'd let it sit in the sun and ferment into this beer. And they'd feed it to all the guys in the community after they played soccer, you know? And then they fed it to all of us. So there'd be like kind of white stuff, you're not sure. And it's like a fermented, and it kind of also is like a beer. So it also makes you feel like a little bit. So you're like, what's going on?
And so that's so someone chews that.
The lady, so the little old ladies, like who don't really, like the teeth are kind of missing.
But it ferments.
Yeah. So it kind of gets rid of that bacteria.
How much do they have to chew to get like a drinkable? I'd imagine it would be
for
a lot.
For one root, it's like one big stalk will get like one drink.
And how many
jaws?
And is it like a drink per person?
Yeah.
And how long does it take to do a chew a whole root? Like an hour?
They sit there and just, like our grandmas will sit and knit like all day. Like they'll sit and chew in the root.
Do they get paid for it?
No.
They just do it?
Wait, what?
they're the little old ladies in the community who just like love to support their families. And it's,
what if they're ill?
Well, then they don't do it. Yeah. Wait, hold on. Have you guys
heard? Why don't you just chew your own sticks?
Yeah, that's a good one.
why do you have to drink someone else's chewed stick?
It's family. Like if your grandma made this sort of drink for you,
no, I would absolutely not.
I mean, if you didn't know any better, like,
you knew better though. I did, but
I don't think the guys in the family
they know where it's coming from though. It's not a surprise.
Like, oh, here's this mystery drink with white chunks. It's like,
oh. And they actually feed it to you. So like you have to drink it. Like you're not just like taking it. You're like, I'll just take a little. No, they actually put it into your mouth. Like they feed it.
They this bowl. So you, well, like
it's
a bird.
Part of accepting like food, you know, like with moms and ladies of like communities, accepting the food is so important. Wait, so they want you to actually consume the food and accept it and like.
Wait, do they put it in your mouth or do they?
They'll actually just like.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Wow.
What happens if you're to gag? Like you do that?
Oh, well then that's disrespectful. That's disrespectful.
What if you can't help it?
That's okay. They're gonna forgive you and they'll be like, "Let's try again."
She's like needs to be chewed more.
Wow. Yeah. What does it taste like?
It was absolutely disgusting.
Really.
Very disgusting.
That's what I would.
But what does it taste like? What?
Oh God, I can't even. It was so long ago. It was fermented. Imagine like ferment something that's fermented.
Okay.
And it had like a tang and also like a weird earthy flavor to it, like very earthy, almost like dirt, because it kind of was.
Okay.
That's what it tasted like, essentially, like a dirt earthy.
Weird. Okay.
Kind of like that drink I had in.
Yeah. I'm just confused how people invent that. Like, who thought, that, like, I'm going to chew this, I'm going to ferment it, I'm going to leave it out, and then I'm going to drink it. And then I'm going to share
that. I bet you
that
started off with some weird guy that, like, wanted some girl to do that.
No. Oh, no. It's got. Yeah. So I don't get how some of this stuff is invented. That's what I want to know. Like, who's the first guy to make this, and how did he share this with his buds?
Yeah. There was a drink I also had in Vanuatu, too, where they, like,
what's that?
Like, the drink or the
Vanuatu?
It's a country in the Pacific, kind of near Australia. I guess is the closest kind of country.
Jack's never left California.
Oh my God, really?
I've left California.
I haven't left the country.
He's been to Vegas.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
You're getting a newbie here.
Never reject the mom's food or drink, ever. Otherwise, it's a huge diss, and they'll become angry at you, and they won't want to host you anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. But this is kava. It was called kava.
Oh, I've heard of that. I've heard of it.
Yeah, they have.
Like, that was big in Fiji.
Yeah, they have. Yeah. They have it over there too. Yeah, for sure. And I feel like in LA they have some of that coming over.
They have the kava root. It's supposed to be good for you.
Yeah. It's kind of not in like high quantities or whatever. But like the guys like grind. They invited me into their like little shack, and then they just like grinded it. And they just like essentially mix it with water. I was like, I made a video on it. I was like, you mix it with water. You mix it with water, and then you drink it, and it's like kind of like the effect of like weed effect or marijuana, chill or whatnot. But as opposed to like marijuana, kava is not good in like high quality. Like if you take it for a while, it's like it wreaks havoc on your system.
Really?
I know. Wow. I don't think they know about it. It's like something that needs to be more educated over there. That was, yeah. But the Amazonian experience was that. That was probably the food wise.
Okay.
What is the worst thing you've ever tasted?
I had like a human finger. No,
no, you did.
I almost believed that for them. Like you went to the Amazon. Don't they have cannibals there? Don't they?
That's in the Philippines.
Is that really?
They in the mountains in the Philippines. They had cannibalism there for a while.
Did you still?
No, I did not. Okay. I did not. I was really sick in Papua New Guinea, actually.
Wow. Okay.
Jackfruit, which we have here,
sounds
right?
Tasty.
It turned into meat. Jackfruit. It tastes really foul. I don't like it.
Tastes foul?
Very foul.
That sounds like it tastes really good.
Fruit. Meat here, though, like ow. Vegan meat. If you go to like Whole Foods, you'll see it.
Okay.
Essentially, it's like a big prickly thing, and like they shave it, and it's
I've seen
the yellow things with the pricks on them.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And so, like, I would eat that in a lot, like in Central America and stuff.
So that's the worst tasting thing you've ever had is jackfruit? Yeah,
that's it.
Yes.
That's what it is. Okay, you can see these grocery stores and stuff.
I'm not very picky. Like, I pretty much eat everything.
Mm.
But, you know, it's not that exciting.
So you traveled everywhere. Let's go to this now.
Okay.
So you were in the fetal position, and you decided every country. How many countries have you been to prior to that?
I've been to around 25 or so, 24, 26, somewhere in between there. And that was between the ages of 18 and 23, essentially. Mm.
How do you pay for that?
Before?
Yes.
Okay. It was bootstrapping, like nothing. Mm-hmm. I had a blog. I'd make like a little bit of money off of that, like $100 a month. And I was able to afford my next ticket to the next country. But essentially, I would utilize like HelpX and Workaway. And I would just get free room and board for like months at a time. And they provide me like food and a place to sleep. And some of them would provide me a little bit of cash. And I would just utilize that to get to the next place.
What sort of work?
So like backing up a little tiny touch, because I feel like this makes no sense if I don't like, you have to start off with like a little bit. So I was around like 20 and, you know, saved up like $2,500. And, you know, my brother and I took off that. You know, September, and he had more than I did, but that he ended up cutting it up off short that whole trip. But I was like, I was able to make it last around 2 years with that, you know, 2,500. And I ended up making some money along the way with that.
Yeah. So you were mentioning like blogs, but what's the work from home thing? The work thing where you could live for free and just work.
Yeah.
What sort of work were you doing?
Like, I would literally find the most luxurious, like, hotel in the area, and one of them was, like, in Machu Picchu. That's, like, the best example.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, I'd be like, listen, can I get a room for the night? And they're like, well, it's you know, $500 a night. I'm like, but I'm a sustainability consultant and actually want to help out your hotel on how to be more like energy efficient and optimize revenues. And I have a cost benefit analysis. And I had this whole like manila folder and like presentation, literally like go in there. And the manager would like sit me down. They'd like usually buy me a meal. We'd talk about it. They'd be like, yeah, I'd love for you to like educate. And yeah, we'll give you a couple nights in our, you know, that's how I would like leverage that.
Was it just a template that you would take to every hotel?
I would switch it to like based on their like prices and everything.
I see. Yeah, so you just like a template.
And I'm not a math person. Like, okay. I couldn't graduate college because I couldn't pass the test.
Right. So. Hmm. You could sell this template to other people. One of these sustainability consultants.
Yeah. Teach a course.
Imagine all of the subscribers are just like, hey, sustainability consultant.
Like, you're the 10th person this week that's came to this hotel.
The fifth person today. We take our rooms.
I mean, I feel like, especially when you're traveling internationally, they want you, like, you're coming from America, you know, and you are coming from educational degree, like, or some sort of educational background. And so they kind of want to, they see that as being of value. And if you have something to offer, then, you know, and they're interested in it. And so that's kind of how I started a website, I started my own business. It all failed, but
yeah. So at this point, how much were you making, or was it just all being funneled back into traveling?
It was all being funneled back. Okay. Like I would eat bread.
You worry financially?
Oh,
like,
very,
what happens
day.
If you're homeless in another country?
I was like, we didn't grow up with a lot of money. We grew up with, like, moderate, you know, but, like, I was kind of used to not growing up with a lot of money to be able to spend on things. So I was very much used to, like, and I was like, listen, I'll sleep in train stations. I'll sleep on the sidewalk of, like, you know, New York City. It doesn't matter, you know. I would sleep on the sidewalks. I would sleep in train stations and airport. It did not matter at the time. Now, if I were to do that, I'd be like, yeah, no thanks, you know? But back then, it was okay, and it's what I was prepared for, essentially.
Yeah. What made you want to decide to travel to every country? Because I'm sure that was probably, there was a time in your life where you had to make the decision, or you had the idea of traveling to every single country. Like, what made you make that decision?
I had done a lot of travel, like, prior to around 25 countries or so, and I was like, you know what? I wonder if I just saw the entire world, like every single country, what that would be like. So it was a passion of mine to see every single country. And it just kind of sat with me. And then one day I saw the front page of CNN. There was this really beautiful guy on it. And I was like, I just went to that article. And
Jack, I didn't know you were on CNN.
You stop it, Grant. You spoil me.
Yeah, and no, so this guy was apparently, like, on The Bachelor. And he did, like, a little segment. I was like, oh, wait, I've been on Naked and Afraid for, like, a little segment thing or an episode, whatever. And his goal was to go to every country in the world and be the fastest person to do it. I was like, wow, like, that is cool. But why is he on the front page? And his name was Eric Hill. And he was, like, 50 countries in, and he was paragliding in Utah. I think he was from Utah. And he went into he died. Yeah.
Oh.
Unfortunately. He died. And he was, like, 32. He was gorgeous. Wow. I thought he was my number one, like, in life. Yeah. I really thought we were going to be married.
Wow. That is
He's,
so
like,
terrible.
The only man I've ever been, like, we're meant to be together. And then I saw that, and I was like, wow. And so I actually talked to his family and stuff, and they're like, well, we're really glad you're talking about his legacy and spreading that, because I was taught that's like it. That's how I found out about the Guinness World Record, essentially, and like that, wow, this is possible, you know?
Jeez.
Yeah, they're the only other guy to break to do this record that I did was he did it in like, I don't know, like 3 years and 10 months or something.
Yeah.
But
how long did it take you?
It took me 18 months and 10 days.
Wow.
So I did it really quickly.
What's the current record?
So actually, there's a girl who broke it, and she did it in like 18 months and like a little less than that.
How difficult is that to do? I mean, if you had a few hundred grand, could you just knock this out in a year and then you take a world record?
That's a good question, because I feel like a lot of people, it depends on your passport, where you're from, and if you can get those certain last visas, like Yemen, Turkmenistan, Syria, Pakistan, and it's kind of like in their hands. And when I was finished, it was like 2017, I finished like in February, but I went through the whole election, like with Trump, you know, and the last like week I was finishing, he had that sanction where people, you know, citizens of Iraq, Iran, there were like four countries, Yemen was one of them, couldn't travel to the U.S. So they put that ban on for people from the U.S. couldn't travel to their countries. And I was about to travel to Yemen as my last country. And I was like, sweating.
Oh,
like,
I can't imagine doing this and then not visiting Yemen.
Yeah, it's the very last country. Yeah. The stress was like incredible. Plus, it's like really hard to get there as an American. They're like, if you go to the U.S. Embassy in Oman, they're going to be like, well, if you go into Yemen, we have absolutely no liability over you, and you're in there yourself. Like, we cannot get you out, even if you have, like, anything. We cannot get you out. And so I was like, it's fine. I got to go there. But, like, with that happening and that, and I was like, oh, God. I ended up doing it just in time before they realized that he had that sanction.
Could you just step in the airport? What counts as you visiting a country? It's just like you just step in the airport, like, I'm here. Get back in the plane.
Yeah. You have to go past border control and baggage claim. Like, you have to go through, like, border control, get your passport stamped, which usually requires you to, like, go outside the airport. So, you essentially, like, I went outside the airport in every country. So, like, that for Guinness, that's what was required for that.
How many countries have you been to where it's just outside the airport and then go right back?
Around, like, 15.
Okay.
Which countries? Yeah. Or just a couple, like, off the...
Nauru was one of them.
Haven't heard of that.
Yeah. Why? Is it time reasons or
honestly,
safety reasons?
Honestly, it was budget. because I had a huge budget I had to adhere to, like, and make sure that, and a lot of those countries were in Africa too, because Africa's really expensive to travel to, believe it or not.
Why?
The flights to get there, since there's not a lot of options with hotels and whatnot and food, and they have to like import everything to like Central Africa, you know, Western Africa. You have to kind of like really budget for those hotels and the food and everything. And the flights are really like really expensive. They have almost the same amount of countries as Europe, but Europe is so much cheaper because it's so much smaller, like easier to get around. And plus like it's more modernized, industrialized. Yeah, some of those Pacific islands like Nauru, Tuvalu.
I've heard of Tuvalu.
Chad. I stayed a night. I stayed a night. Burkina Faso, I like stayed a night. I mean, there was, you know.
Chad's better than Kyle. Dad joke.
Yeah. I wonder if there is a. The thing is, though. There's over 350 countries, like if you count territories and colonies. So like Puerto Rico is owned by the U.S. I didn't go to Scotland or Wales because they're owned by like the U.K. So there's a ton of countries out there. Maybe there's a personally named Kyle one. Who knows?
Is there anywhere left that you'd want to go at this point?
I want to go to the North Pole. I want to go to like French Polynesia too, really bad.
Why the North Pole? Why not the South Pole?
Antarctica?
Because I've been there before.
Been the South Pole. Okay.
So I kind of want to see like the North. And the polar bears are not in Antarctica or anything.
Got it.
What was the cheapest place that you visited?
Ooh, I like this one.
Like if Graham were to go travel somewhere.
If I'm going to travel.
Yeah, where would you suggest he goes?
Okay. I would say like Indonesia, Thailand, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos is really cheap. Those are very cheap countries. I think those are probably the cheapest I've been to. And flight-wise, too, they have some really good deals where you can fly round trip like $400 and then...
Wow, $400 round trip, yeah.
Luxury hotel, like $80.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Oh, yeah.
Graham knows this summer, I actually, since I've never really traveled before,
yeah.
I decided it was finally time to take matters into my own hands, and I bought
round trip
tickets to Thailand
with
my best friend Jack.
Awesome.
And we bought the tickets, and of course, the illness...
Is that refundable?
Yeah, because I bought insurance.
Oh, you
for the
did.
Trip.
Lucky.
Yeah. It was only $550 or so for Thailand, but we already booked like an Airbnb and stuff.
Wow.
And I was looking up a lot of the stuff about like the culture of Thailand, and stuff is crazy. Like street food, you can go and there's just these markets with a bunch of little tents, and people just serve out the street food, and it's like of the equivalent of like $1.50 for these crazy like Thai meals. Yeah.
You're like living back wait, how old are you?
I'm 21.
I thought you were in your like your late 20s or so.
No.
I'm like, well, you're speaking how I was speaking. I'm like, wow, I'm like living through how I feel like I was like when I was. Because it's true. But it's so exciting. And then once you hit 30, it's like, oh, things have changed.
Yeah. How is it less exciting at 30 though?
Just, I feel like you're more... For me personally, I'm more into business and less into exploration, I guess. Okay. You know? Like,
maybe I've that's because you've already explored, right?
Yeah, that could be it. That's
true,
the thing.
True. But I find like business development really exciting right now. And so when trying to connect with like younger people, that euphoria that they have that I used to have, I'm like, okay, bring yourself back to there, Cass. You once were there and now you're more into like a stagnant business, boring sense, which for you isn't boring.
No, I don't know, but in a way, life kind of hits you over the head, and then you get used to certain things.
Yeah, true.
And nothing is as new, because in the beginning, you always have this big newness over everything. True. It's like all the exciting possibilities, and then things settle down, and it is what it is. That's what I think happens.
Oh, man. You get a cat, you become a cat lady.
You get a cat, now it's the idea of leaving that, going too far from the house to get antsy.
I can't leave without him anymore.
Yeah.
Like, if I get a free trip to, like, Bora Bora, I'm like... Mm-hmm. I have to bring him with me.
Yeah.
And like, I got a trip to Iceland. I'm like, can I bring my, they're like, no. I'm like, well, I can't.
Wow.
You know, use it on someone who really wants, you would love to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Send me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Give these people my contact.
Yeah, as long as Jack can work from there. Yeah. So, okay. So let's talk about your favorite places to go. Top five.
Okay. Pakistan.
Why Pakistan?
It is so different than any other country I've ever been to. It's also like, I was like, do I like India or do I like the, like, I love the Middle Eastern region. Like, I love it. That's my favorite region. But it's so kind of like taboo too to go there. I don't know how much I'm going to get into because the algorithm, the YouTube, but it's just such an interesting place, and the food is totally different from like India or the Middle East, and the people are so nice. Actually, you don't have to like wear hijab or a burqa as a woman. Like, you don't have to cover up or anything. I mean, as much. And I just found it to be a really, plus you have like the mountains and like, it's a really cool spot, the mountains and the beach. And it's like, California is like the mountains and the beach. And I just, I don't know. I love Pakistan personally.
Okay.
Very interesting culture. Mongolia is another good spot.
Mongolia is really,
you know,
pretty.
What? I'm a nature girl.
I like the barbecue.
Have you had a Mongolian burger?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Yeah. Oh, you got to go sometime.
In LA?
Yeah. You
see,
go.
My favorite
country
is the US because you can find all this stuff.
Oh, I'm
here.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
That's why it's my favorite.
Okay.
But Mongolia is incredible. Yeah. I mean, I love Peru. Peru is definitely a top. Costa Rica is another top.
Costa Rica is really pretty.
And I really liked Oman, you know, Middle Eastern.
Okay.
These are not traditional. Like, I could easily just say, like, you know, France or, you know, Greece or whatnot. But, like, these are the, like, non-traditional. And New Zealand was a really cool one as well. It's hard to pick a top five, though, honestly. It's...
And what, okay, least
Bhutan
favorite.
Yeah, what places did
Bhutan
you not
was incredible.
Like?
Okay.
Bhutan. Wait, can I just say this Bhutan experience?
Yeah, go for it.
Where is Bhutan? Because
Bhutan is, like, right above Nepal.
Some people may not know.
Nepal, and, like, you have... like in between, kind of like China and Nepal, Tibet and Nepal, moreover.
Okay.
And they just, like, you arrive and there is like, I don't know if this is YouTube friendly, but you just go.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
There's like weed growing everywhere and they're like, oh, my tour guide. And you have to have, it's like $250 a day. You have to get a tour guide. He's like, look, there's like marijuana growing everywhere. And I was like, oh, cool. He's like, we don't touch it though. Like, we don't, we just let it grow. And then you like, the buildings, like, any building you drive by, there are these beautiful, like, big, gorgeous, painted, like, huge, take up the whole building. Like,
why?
I don't
bleep
know.
That out, Jack. But why?
Yeah, why would the phallic organ?
It's to rid the family in that household of evil.
What?
I don't know.
We should do that here.
Teenagers do that all the time, on, like, the side of a building.
That works.
No,
do it here,
like,
right?
Beautiful painted, like. Pictures
or wow. You know, like, all the kids that, like, second grade, they all draw that,
yeah,
like,
plus
fun.
You have, like,
they're actually saints.
It's like a cloud forest. It's like really beautiful over there. Like, it's a stunning spot if you're gonna go to, like, a really, that's a really one, that's a winner for sure.
So other least favorite.
No, that was your favorite.
That was your favorite. One of my favorites.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Second grade, my favorite, too. That sounds really cool.
Least favorite? I hate to say it, but it was Italy.
Why?
To this very day. Because the men. And as a woman, the men, it was a huge issue. I've never been able to get past it. No, I've been there, like, six times. My last name is Italian, actually. My great-grandpa was from Italy. But the men, just like the cat calling and everything, it's absolutely, it's something that I can't get past. I've worked, a lot of the workaways I did when I was younger, in my early 20s, was for, you know, Airbnb, not Airbnbs didn't exist. It was like bed and breakfast and like hotels or whatever. And the owners were these like men and they just like make me do a bunch of stuff. And like, it was absolutely terrible. And it was only in Italy. Like, I didn't experience that anywhere else. So, yeah, but I mean, for you guys, it's fine. I mean, everything else about Italy is incredible. You know, the food and the everything.
What about other places you didn't like?
I mean, I would say it depends on, like how the not like situation is, because it's hard with what they're going through. But I mean, South Sudan isn't a place to really visit unless you're going to help them, in Somalia. So, like, you know, those places aren't really, it's a hard, that's a loaded question.
No, yeah. It's like just like a place where you didn't have a good time.
Yeah.
And it would make sense if they were going through something that maybe you.
Yeah. I mean, Burkina Faso was a country where, like, I was you know, I allocated a certain amount of funds to spend in countries where I knew that I had to be a little bit safer as mm-hmm. a woman. So like with hotels or whatnot. So this one in Burkina Faso, I spent like $100 or whatnot. And like, it was 2 a.m. and I was like sleeping there like naked. Cause I had like a little backpack. I didn't care. I had like one sure. outfit, and a guy used a swipe key and opened my room, like opened my door, you know, at 2 a.m.
Wow.
And I just saw this figure. I didn't have my glasses on. I couldn't find them. I was about to go find them, cause I was like totally like bare naked. And I was like, how am I? And they speak French there. And I was like, what? No, like get out of here, you know. And it was like really scary because he could have totally done whatever. And I realized that he was like a part of the staff of that hotel.
Oh.
They were all men at the concierge, like at the front desk. Everyone, like, it was like a man-owned hotel essentially. And but that was just like a hotel experience.
Was that a mistake? That was a mistake, or did he do it on purpose?
In, yeah. And he was looking at me.
But so, do you like, think that maybe he was just trying to like
say, hey, get out?
Yeah, like just left.
It took a few takes.
Yeah.
But he left.
I think he had intentions, but he left. He left.
Okay.
Because I was like screaming.
Wow.
I mean,
that's horrifying. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I don't know. Honestly, I think you can find the good in every single country. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds boring, but like, it's just like going into each country with a completely open mind, like leaving all preconceptions at the door and just like formulating your own experience, sure. I think is really important. For my experience, both those experiences were like coming from a woman, but you guys probably wouldn't experience those. So it's kind of
right.
like, you know, I mean, I feel like there's no country to not go. Even North Korea, like that was a great experience. I mean,
how did you
scary.
Even do that? Like,
it's easy to go, actually.
But don't you have to be monitored? Like you...
Yes, yeah.
So you have like tour guides and stuff that make sure you don't act out of line.
Exactly, yeah.
What questions do you have prepared for us, Jack?
Me? I have plenty of...
Let's see.
Plenty of questions. Typically, I prepare questions and we just somehow organically arrive.
I know, that first one I was like, oop. Too fresh.
What?
I forget the first one. I think it was about money with the trip.
Oh.
That's a whole other thing with that.
Why? What do you mean?
Do you not want to discuss that?
Oh, I can talk about it for sure, but I just don't think I was like ready to plunge into it.
Oh, let's plunge into it now.
Yeah, okay.
So what's it? Okay, so the money things of the trip.
Because your money, and yes. I want to like, I want you. People want what they want.
You know? Right. So, people want you to talk exactly. about money. Okay. Exactly. So yeah. So let's dive into it.
Yeah.
Would we? First off, I just want to establish this. Would we be, I mean, close enough to the truth where we could make the title, like, how she traveled the world for free? Or is that not true?
Is that not at all?
Well, because essentially, like, I had investors and sponsors, so I don't know if that's free.
But it didn't come out of your pocket.
Only around, like, 10 grand did.
How to travel the entire world for
$10,000. Yeah. Mention that somewhere in the video so we could use that as a title.
So how much did it cost to travel the entire world?
Yeah, what was your total out-of-pocket cost?
Out-of-pocket costs were around 10 grand. Yeah.
Wow.
It's impressive.
Yeah, that's very...
We came up with their title now.
Yeah.
But what was this money thing that you were saying you didn't want to dive into it in the beginning? Mm. Is that this?
Well, it's a whole other aspect of the expedition that and travel in general. But like, so I've had two sets of travel, like in my early 20s, then my expedition. So we're talking about my expedition now. But it's just like there's so many layers to it that.
Okay, I'm wildly impressed that you traveled the world for 10 grand. If I had the opportunity to travel the world for 10 grand, I probably, I mean, not right now because of Graham, but I most definitely would otherwise. Mm-hmm. And that's very, very cool. So essentially you saved up some money from babysitting and from being a lifeguard. Mm-hmm. And then you use that money to have your initial expedition.
Mm-hmm.
And then you came back and decided that you wanted to travel the entire world and break a Guinness World Record.
No. Close, though.
Okay.
Close.
A couple points.
Very close. Very close. I would give you 3 out of 10 on that one.
No, I just went from 60% to 30%.
No, I'm not good with math, you guys. Right. So maybe 3 out of 5? 3 out of 5.
Okay, cool. I'll take
sure. So what was wrong from that?
No, so I essentially took that 10 grand and started traveling the world, but I had a plan in place and I had sponsors and investors to get going with that as well.
How do you get sponsors and investors?
Yeah. So I had to do a lot of networking.
Mm-hmm.
So I go to like C-level travel events, like travel and tourism, you know, conferences, the stuff that would like eat at me because I'm such an introvert, but I had to just go and just pitch myself essentially as much as possible to these, like, one of them is...
I had a question. Yeah.
Yeah, you can go ahead.
What's the return on investment?
For a lot of these investors, just honestly, to be completely honest, they wanted to give to a young girl who was going after, like, a humanitarian thing, didn't have any money and who was, like, working really hard. That's
fair,
like,
enough. Okay.
Literally, it's like, my investors, it was a philanthropic thing.
And all right, I feel cool.
Like, and also, I was like, oh, I'll promote you. Like, I'll talk. They're like, no, I'm like a private investor.
No, you do not mention my name ever.
So, like, these.
No paperwork.
These few investors, and I met them face to face at these events, and I would, like, pitch them, and I'd be introduced to them by, like, other networks that I had, you know, like, people. And so that's what it was.
It says that you have 2 Guinness World Records.
Yes.
On your website.
Mm-hmm.
What's the other one?
So it's the fastest person to visit all sovereign nations and the fastest female to visit all sovereign nations.
Person and female.
Yeah. Those have been broken since.
Cool. Though, oh, apparently. Okay.
But you still have
this year.
Yeah.
I have the plaques and everything.
They can't take those away from you.
No.
No. Are those, like, framed in
they
the
are
massive...
totally framed in
okay,
my...
Okay, yeah. I mean, that
I'm
would
like,
be...
like, those
yeah.
in my only company.
Any, any intention that would be... of getting that back, though? Yeah. Of just being like, no, I'm going to do it faster.
People have asked that. That's, like, a huge question. Mm-hmm. But you know what? If I had, like, you know, $2 million to do it and fly a business
and, like,
and
do
private,
nice...
Then, yeah, I would
so
do it.
So do you think I could do that for $2 million and just be the fastest? Like, how much is it going to cost? If someone watching this right now is be like, no, I'm going to get that record, how much would it cost?
$100,000.
You could do it. You could do it for $100,000. But the thing is, there's so many variables, like your passport and if you can get the visa. That's dependent on the embassy. Like, literally, I had to go back and forth to the Pakistani embassy, like, 5 times. Be like, please, please issue me this visa. And Turkmenistan is like... a guessing game. Like, they deny just random people. And, like,
can you tell them about this, or would that make it worse?
Sometimes it makes it way worse. They're like, no, we don't want to be a part of this American Trump girl.
Yeah, okay.
Are you allowed to use a TripAdvisor? Like, yeah.
Yeah, I use TripAdvisor a lot.
TripAdvisor or a TripAdvisor?
Like
a trip planner? Or what?
I had that for some of my visas, for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Santa's Vagabond.
Because that would probably take care of a lot of...
They help with a lot of visas, yeah.
I feel like getting, like, Expedia, or, like, Booking.com or something like that would be great.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I went to one of the summits I went to in between my expedition was a World Travel and Tourism Council summit. And I was flying back. I got sponsored there to fly business. It was my first time ever flying business class, okay? And I was super excited. On the way back, it was in Madrid. My seatmate was the CEO of Expedia at the time. His name began with a D. I don't remember. I'm really bad with names.
Sure.
He was sitting next to me. I was like, I've been wanting to pitch this guy the whole weekend. He was on my list. I've been wanting. So I'm trying to stay chill. But I was so hungover from our last night.
Wow.
They got me really wild up.
Wow.
But the whole time, I was back and forth between the toilet
on
the plane. I didn't have enough energy to even pitch myself to this guy. And we were right next to each other. It was a huge loss.
Why did you drink?
I learned.
That's why Grandma and I don't.
Yeah, we don't mess with that stuff.
They wanted me to.
What do you mean they wanted you? Did you just say you don't drink?
The owner of the, you know, his son. And, like, they're like, oh, I'll introduce you and here's some more. And I'm like... Listen, I'm a sucker.
You can't not comply.
You can say,
I feel like
it's hard in Madrid too, like
you,
in Spain, where there's like.
But you have one drink, 2 max.
No, listen, I'm not good with it. I'm not good with it. It's really bad, but I'm not good with that. And that totally messed up that deal because then he just,
dang.
I think he bought out like Orbitz too. And I was like,
missed opportunity.
Well, you know what? You live on another flight though. I was, like, waiting in line for the bathroom in economy, and this guy was behind me, and this was, like, also right before my expedition. I was like, hey, you look like that guy Toby from The Office.
No.
And I was drinking, too, so I was also more open with speaking.
Yeah.
And this is when it actually helped me.
Wow.
And he's like, yeah, I'm Paul Liberstein, Toby from The Office.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, I'm going this expedition around the world. Would you be interested in, like, being a supporter on it? He's like, yeah, for sure. Send me the information. So he was a supporter on my... So I ended up garnering these supporters.
That is so cool.
You know, that wouldn't, like, contribute anything, but they'd just be, like, on my website, which was really cool.
That's
neat.
Yeah. Wow.
Toby.
Okay.
So that's
I like Toby.
Yeah, good guy.
Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah. He's awesome.
Is he the same personality in person?
He's a little more chill. I don't know.
He's more chill in person. Like, he seems so relaxed.
He was so relaxed, though. Yeah, yeah. I would say he's pretty similar.
Hey, that's hey nice. Guys.
Yeah.
Hey, Michael. Yeah, like that. I don't know.
No, he had a little more personality.
Okay. Hey, Cassie.
No, he was chill, though.
He was chill.
Yeah. He was chill. And honestly, in economy, I was like, to look back and be like, huh.
Yeah.
That's cool. Wait, so he was flying economy?
I guess so.
Wow.
It was like Delta. I don't know.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw, I was actually on a flight. Coming from, where was it? It was either, I think it was Canada, Toronto. And up in first class was that guy from Two and a Half Men. Not Charlie Sheen, but the other guy.
Huh.
I never watched it.
Yeah, I feel like I know who you're talking about.
He shaved his head, now he's a villain.
Oh, the Austin Powers guy?
No. No, it's Mike Myers.
Dude, no, the villain in Austin Powers. That's
Mike Myers.
What?
Yes, he plays the same character. That's the whole point of the movie.
Are you serious?
Do you not know that?
The Million Dollars guy?
Yes.
Dr. Evil?
That's all him. He plays, like, most of the characters in the movie. This is real, guys.
I don't know. Don't ask me.
Are you serious?
How am I supposed to know that? They look completely different.
That's the point of makeup.
Is it?
John Cryer. John Cryer is who I flew on a plane with, that guy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, for sure. Yeah,
okay, John Cryer. But come on, man. Look, Mike Myers. Mike Myers' character.
It looks completely different. Who stays and watches the credits to see like, Dr. Evil, Mike Myers, Austin Powers.
They sound
Mike.
The same. He was also a Fat Bastard. Did you think that was an actor, too?
Yeah.
Like, a different actor?
Yeah.
You thought that was, like, not him?
Wow.
Yeah.
He plays
You see, you're surprised.
I don't know.
He also plays Mini-Me.
No, he doesn't. That's Vern Troyer. I know that's someone else.
Kidding. That was a joke. But yeah, no, those are all of his characters. It looks the same.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, they do. The face. Does that face? That looks like Mike Myers' face. The eyes.
Oh, my God.
The eyes.
Oh, my God. It does, though. It really
the
does.
Eyes.
You can't even see the eyes in that picture. You can't even see the eyes. It's just a blur.
Just saying, those are all of his characters. It's like Eddie Murphy playing all the, you know, all these characters in The Nutty Professor.
I know, too.
When I actually, the last travel I went on was in March, and I was coming back from British Columbia to LA, and I was in business because it was for a speaking engagement, and like, one of the guys like got up and like started like packing up all this toilet paper, and I like made a joke because I'd had some wine, and obviously because it makes you more open. I swear to God, there are positives. Otherwise, you wouldn't say this, and no one did. I was like, "Well, that's a lot of toilet paper you have," and everyone turned to me and they're like, because they were all like wanting to say something to him. I guess he was a really big actor. I couldn't tell you who he was right now because I forgot, but like, I didn't know, but like they all did. Everyone in like business first, like, knew who he was.
You probably saying what everyone else wanted.
And then they
to
all
say.
Picked up on my conversation with him and the toilet paper.
Why do you have so much toilet paper?
Because it was the quarantine. And so he's like, my wife in LA, they were out. So he had to bring it back.
So he had to defend himself. Wow. He's like, it's okay.
Wow. Okay.
It's my wife. Not me.
Yeah. But
okay. Have you ever traveled out of the country, Graham?
Canada.
Oh, that's it?
Canada and Mexico.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's it. So I haven't left the continent, though.
Okay. Well, technically, I've been to Canada and Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Alaska, and I think there was a layover or something.
Probably.
But I was 10, and I don't remember. I literally think we were only in the airport in Canada.
Okay.
And then there was a cruise down to Mexico that I did when I was like 5, but I don't think we ever actually docked. So
okay.
Technically, I have been out of the country. I'm quite exotic.
All right.
Okay. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, it takes money, you know, and it takes, you know,
time
off of work.
It's time. That's all.
Unless you could, a travel influencer.
Unless you could freeze time and just go and travel and then come back and not miss anything. Yeah, it's just the time aspect of it.
Or where would you go?
Probably Australia. Fiji. Snorkeling spots. Love to do snorkeling spots.
You're
at some
a big
point.
Aquarium reef kind
of guy. So the Great Barrier Reef, Fiji, I think. what's the one, the Maldives?
Oh, I was just gonna say Maldives or Seychelles, yeah. But like Maldives, right. Yeah, Seychelles
stuff like that, really like pretty. Beachy tropical yeah. places mm-hmm. where I can go scuba diving. I think. Would
and
be
if
fun.
You guys ever need someone to watch your cat, you know,
deal,
know
who, deal.
Who's a cat lady here? Yeah.
So can you tell us now? I think this is a good segue into how much you spend every month.
Oh God.
Do you drink Starbucks?
No, I make my own coffee from home.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how much do you spend every month? And then where do you waste your money? And then how much do you make every month? Your household income, net worth, credit score.
Investments. Not prepared for any of these.
Oh, and then how much money you have in investments and how much does this make you
every year? Have you beat the market consistently?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'm just a travel girl.
Your best investment and your worst investment. Go.
Oh, no. No. There's a lot of... Yeah, I'm not a, I will say, as much as I'm not proud, I'm not a money girl.
Okay.
I'm not, I wasn't right, like, my parents weren't good with money. We didn't grow up with a lot of money. It was kind of like, we never really learned about money. And so I was just making not a lot of, like, around, like I said, like 40 grand, babysitting, you know. And then, so I didn't really start making money until around 3 years ago, you know, like 27 when this all finished. And suddenly I was like in the, you know, six figure-ish up mm-hmm. range. And I want to be vague because I feel like...
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, yeah, that makes
but,
sense.
But, and it just, like, went from zero to nothing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how do I manage this? First of all, I have to invest it into the business. Like, everything has gone into the business the past few years. And so it wasn't really until, like, the past, really, quarantine that I was like, huh, stocks. My brother's like, I'm looking into trading and day trading. And I'm like, oh, maybe I should do. And then your videos, I'm like, ooh, I should maybe look at some stocks and investing. So
are
I'm
you,
like,
yeah. Are I'm you budgeting not, though?
Yeah, I budget.
You start mm-hmm. to budget.
I budget
okay.
for sure. For sure.
What's your yeah, savings rate?
My savings rate?
Percentage of your.
Yeah,
of
what
the amount
percentage
of money
of your savings rate? Yeah.
Based off of. Like,
20%.
20%.
Of like each paycheck.
Okay. Yeah. Should be higher.
Well, it depends. Like,
I'm sure it should be.
Well, okay. So,
I mean,
so what are you spending your money? We're talking about investing too. In that 20%. Yeah, okay, should
sure,
be
sure.
Should
yeah.
be 30. We're gonna
for
get
sure.
that to 30%.
30%. I can get there.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like I'm just so new with like making a good amount of money mm-hmm. that I'm like I've had to just focus on growing the business, and I haven't really thought about because I wasn't really educated on that.
Yeah.
You know, it like investing. And so now I'm doing like real estate, like land development, and just really, I'm growing in like many ways, but to invest.
If you get a better ROI investing in yourself and your business, it only makes sense to.
I agree with
continue
that.
Continue doing that.
Yeah.
Where do you waste money?
I may Air One.
Oh,
I guess
so
I'm gonna go to Air One.
Air One,
like,
Jack, you gotta go to Air One.
You've told me about this before.
And Equinox too.
Yeah, Equinox.
I just closed my.
You closed your membership. Yeah. Well, they've been closed.
I feel
closed.
Like that was a waste of money.
No, not if you go every day. If you go every day, but they put all memberships on hold starting March.
Yeah. I canceled.
But Erewhon is the biggest waste of money. I think is a scam store.
What percentage premium store. Do you pay just based off
on Erewhon?
Yeah.
What, of Equinox or Equinox? I'm a member.
But like Erewhon, are you?
No. Oh, gosh, no. I've been in the store a few times just to look at the prices.
Yeah.
Double.
Oh, you haven't
everything.
Eaten there?
Double. So it's
double.
100% premium.
Yeah. I remember I walked in there
double.
And they had like a little thing of watermelon, like this size, just filled with watermelon slices. It's like $9.
Yeah.
Like to buy a full watermelon is maybe like $3.
Yeah.
And
you're getting
little slices,
a tenth of a watermelon.
Yes, for $9. And they also had these like pre-made sandwiches that you would think in any normal store would cost like $4, $5.
Yeah.
These sandwiches are like $16 for a little pre-made sandwich.
Why don't you just go to a restaurant
and
get a sandwich that's probably
twice
as
good. Oh, where
they
gave was the juices. They had like this juice cleanse thing.
True.
And these little shots of things are $5-$6. Or like these smoothies for like $12. Everything is insane.
They just... Wow.
Oh, and the chocolates. They have these like $7
how chocolates.
How
do they get away
everywhere.
With that?
Because people
is
with
the quality
money
good or is
like
just...
want to feel superior. And they want to be like, I'm getting the highest quality stuff. Money can possibly buy. Money is no object. But what they're really getting is ripped off. That's what they're getting.
It's true. I've spent like $450 on a bag of groceries at Erewhon.
Yeah, I know.
And they would fit one third the bag. Because of supplements and everything there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go to Trader Joe's and for $130 get like eight
bags.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I go, that's the only place I go now in Calabasas.
Yeah, Trader Joe's is good, but not Erewhon. And even Erewhon, sometimes some of the most of them I think have valet. So you could go and valet your car at the grocery store. It's fancy.
Oh, I've never been there.
Oh, yeah. You're 21.
Yeah.
I mean, part of me wants to go there and film it, but I have a feeling if we walk in with a camera, we
should do a trip to Erewhon.
Okay.
You should do that. That'd be really interesting.
Millionaire reacts to Erewhon.
Entertainment. Yeah.
We could do that, but the thing is, you go in with a camera, you'll for sure get kicked out. You would have to do it so indiscreetly with like an iPhone or something.
And the Palisades one is a really good one to do that, I'd say.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay. Put that on the to-do list.
A waste of money.
But yeah, that's a splurge for sure.
Yeah. We could do that with an iPhone. That could be an episode on like a weekend. Go to Erewhon and just react.
Just rip on Erewhon. Yeah.
Every time after Equinox, like, I would go.
That's combining two of the most expensive things. Like after Equinox, go to Erewhon.
Plus, you'd have to pay for parking at Equinox if you're over like 2 hours or something or an hour. I'd always like be there for like two hours.
You don't have to pay for parking if you're over 2 hours?
You do have to pay for parking.
Yeah, in Santa Monica.
You have to.
Did you go the one in Santa Monica?
Yeah.
It was like, you'd have to pay like over 2 hours.
Oh, you have to pay.
Why wouldn't they give you free parking if you're paying like 200?
It's free for 2 hours.
I know, right? Up to 2 hours. But like if you're going to shower or if you want to like do a bunch of,
if you're really
whatever.
Muscular, if you're Graham, you know, you want to stay there for longer than 2 hours.
I spent all day there, yeah. I break the machines and I'm on them.
He goes until they break.
Actually, Shelby just she just sold me on that machine, the turbo thing.
Cool. The $2,000 one?
I know, but well, I need weights and like I can't find them anywhere online. It's like for a whole set, it's like $2,000. And I'm like, okay, well.
You know what you got to do?
May as well.
Is you got to join Graham and I, because we go on these runs every day.
Oh, yeah, we do.
And we run to a childhood, like, we run to a children's playground. This is every day. And we do pull-ups on the monkey bars or whatever. Like,
it's empty. There's
and
no
not
one
closed
there.
Either.
Well, they're closed. But you just walk. I mean, it's
literally
closed. There's no one there.
Day.
There's no one
we
there.
We just do pull-ups on a children's playground.
It's good, though. But you it's do different good. Ones. You do different, like the pull-ups at different lengths.
Well, Graham's better than I
the other ones.
Yeah, he's
good.
Yeah.
That's
it's
great.
A good back workout. And then you
that's
get a run
idea.
At the same time.
Yeah. Huh.
Just that's go to a children's idea. Program. They have everything
well,
you need.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I should think about. But I've already bought it. So.
No. Too late. Yeah.
Let's do this. Let's ask the duck horse question. We'll end
you
it.
Ask it. Graham.
Okay. So the last question we leave everyone with, it's probably going to cause many nights of sleeplessness. Would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
I'd probably do the big duck.
You'd rather the one big duck. Why?
Because I know some Krav Maga, and I feel like I could take it.
Krav Maga.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool.
Okay.
Good answer. Let's wrap it up. Cool.
I guess we'll just
thanks
close
for
it.
Having
yeah.
me.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks
it was a
so
blast.
Much. Really appreciate it. As always, guys, make sure to destroy the like button, subscribe button, notification bell. We'll put Instagrams down below in the description. Get your two free stocks from Webull, because now one of those stocks is going to be worth all the way to $1,600. How crazy is that? $1,600 up to. Fine print there. But anyway, thank you guys so much for watching. Really appreciate it. And until next time.
Around 10 grand in that like year and a half before once I decided to do this expedition, I gotta save. What? Wait, did I?
No. It's success.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. We're a little silly today. 16th?
Cool. Yeah, 16th ever. Okay. You do the intro.